Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Today, we are continuing our discussion in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul shares perseverance from prison.
I deserve nothing in life, but by your grace, I have everything. And then Paul is saying, and you can even have, you can have something that is out of the norm here on earth if you're willing to go for the prize. Go for the priority that Jesus Christ called us to, but very few of us want to encompass it. We'll take the good part of it, but when it's humble me, regardless of what the circumstances, that means giving up your comfort and your security, and most saints don't want to go there.
You know, Janie, the first part of this chapter, we see Paul sharing perseverance to say things over and over with the people of Philippi to encourage them to endure. And then the second part, he talks about that the whole purpose of everything is to know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shows them perseverance with, this is the most important thing. Keep your focus. It's to know Christ, to know the power of the resurrection, to know the fellowship, to know that is the purpose. And so this third part that we're going into, Paul shares perseverance of his own walk.
Well, I like the way you approach the second half by saying it's Paul's personal testimony, because, and just reverting back to Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know him. It was an option. And as I studied this portion, I realized he was calling the Philippian church to a higher standard. They were already grounded in the basic doctrines. They were grounded in the proper practice, not without some problems, but they were moving forward. And so then he presents to them an option. It's kind of like when we go shopping for a car, Sharon, we can get the basic, or we can get the primo package, but the primo package costs something.
Right. It costs a lot more.
Yes, but it gives you a lot more bells and whistles.
We take the basic vehicle because we can afford it. But in all reality, the bells and whistles are available for us, and we can afford it if we will just sacrifice. And,
yes.
And if that makes sense.
Well,
with the parallel.
Well, in sacrificing, then it opens up a whole nother dimension. So it's not so, it isn't just like, oh, woe is me. There's nothing good that's going to happen if I.
But it's a perseverance.
It is. And yet you and I have experienced, even in the last couple of months, as we've chosen to live by this, we have seen what we would call nothing short of miracles.
Yes. Absolutely.
Issues that we never could have brought about if we had manipulated, had an unlimited checkbook.
Yeah.
And we've just sat in awe. And also, Sharon, when it is by him and for him and to him, didn't you find that when these things came, we were not excited? But there was a peace that passes understanding at the awesomeness of what had just fell into our lap, or what had been provided through specific praying.
Right.
And so those benefits are, how would we say it in the temporal world? I mean, that's like getting a bonus on your job that was about 10 times what you thought your bonus would be, if you even got a bonus.
God is so, you know, we say God is good, but God is so good in all of his acts, everything he does, even the trials that we go through, he has goodness for us. It just takes some perseverance on our part to make it through some of the difficult times and to learn the things that he has for us in the process.
And so Paul is telling us in a generality of some of the bells and whistles that can come from choosing to make Philippians 3:10 a part of your life. But he also gives you warnings. He said it's going to cost you.
Well, let's read Philippians 10. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death.
And, you know, when we break that down, it ends up being made conformable to his death. And who wants to get the package that has the death benefit?
Yes. Right.
But Paul had gone that path, and he knew that he had known, I'm going to just say, supernatural blessings that were not necessarily conveyed on every true child of God, because there was a price to pay. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we pick up in verse 14, where he says, I press towards the goal. And it's great to do the doctrine here on this show, and we certainly do like to hold to the truth. But today, Sharon, there is so much pain out there with people. I cannot tell you the number of cases that I had yesterday mm-hmm. that was brought to me through one thing or another. And so I thought that we might want to just refer back to a fellow who knew chronic pain.
Okay.
He had fallen off a mountain, and he had his whole back compressed. And he knew that there was nothing after years of pain that it was going to eliminate it. So he made up a phrase. He said, pain is inevitable, but misery is a choice. And joy is a choice.
Right.
And he had some one-liners that he just put down that probably each one-liner could take a lesson. But we can just look at these one-liners and maybe just give a couple of them just to show how the progress goes from going from misery to joy.
Faith plus nothing equals that which pleases God.
Yeah, a faith plus nothing. Now, I don't know about you, Sharon, but I'd like to have a little temporary security built around my faith. I'd like to have, I must confess, a little comfort on some days built around my faith. But this gentleman said faith alone mm-hmm. when nothing was going for him in uh-huh. his soul, his emotions, his physical.
Faith isn't really faith until it's all that you are holding on to. And that's interesting, because you can really think that you are just holding on to faith at times and still be holding on to other things.
So it takes a new disruption in your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I had one of the challenges that came to me yesterday and said, but I know all this.
Hmm.
I know all this, and I know that I know it. I said, all right, if you know it, then why am I looking at a face full of fear? Well, because pain had disrupted.
Right.
And the senses were not perceiving things correctly because of pain.
Yeah, exactly. And I can be a witness to that, just with my own struggle in pain, that sometimes you get focused on the pain and you forget everything else around you. And then the fear of pain.
Yes. But we have learned that the fear of pain increases the pain level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy enough, it does.
It does. So when you focus on pain, and is that not the simplicity of Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh or mm-hmm. as a woman thinketh, so are they. All right. So our thoughts determine. But the discipline of saying, I reject that. I just reject it. The pain is still here, but I reject it. And then to cry out to God. And when you realize that he has a goal for you, mm-hmm. that you start to say, okay, wait a minute. I can't make the pain go away, but I can turn my thoughts to the goal that you said that you mm-hmm. want me to walk
right.
in, which is what Paul was doing as he was persevering in prison.
Right.
He was saying, I could sit here in stocks and being chained to these guards and be absolutely miserable beyond belief, but I refuse to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep the goal. And then this gentleman, he shows in his writings how he went from one season to another season and how he progressed. And the first one-liner that he had after he had gone through another season is one that I think will be especially dear to your heart. And it is, he who laughs last. He who laughs, da-da-da-da-da, last, L-A-S-T-S. A happy, merry heart, as you mentioned last
week. So not he who laughs last, like no. Getting the joke last, like me. Oh, yeah, he who laughs gets the joke last.
Or he who laughs is sustained.
There you go.
Because okay. of a happy heart.
Right. Okay.
All right. And I thought that would have special significance to you. And then we talked last week about Philippians being something that was so sweet, but so scary. And he says, humble me, Lord, no matter what the consequences. Now, that makes my stomach churn a little bit. I know of an accident that happened yesterday when everybody was happy and joyous and had just had a great victory. And within moments after that great victory, there was a hit and run that took one of the players out. So it's sobering mm-hmm. to live in this day and age, knowing that there can be consequences that happen instantaneously. Mm-hmm. Life is fine, and all of a sudden, life will never be the same.
Right.
It still might be fine at a different level, mm-hmm. but it'll never be the same.
Right.
And so that is something that we have to come to. Lord, I'm going to trust you enough no matter what the consequences. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, I don't know that I have that kind of faith for next week or next month. I have to have it for right now,
just
this
for
moment.
Right now.
Right now. Right,
yeah.
huh?
That's all and I can do.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that maybe just one other one. And he says, God, grant me the serenity to remember who I am. I'm your lamb. I deserve nothing in life. Mm-hmm. But by your grace, I have everything. And then Paul is saying, and you can even have, you can have something that is out of the norm here on earth if you're willing to go for the prize. Go for the priority that Jesus Christ called us to, but very few of us want to encompass it. We'll take the good part of it, but when it's humble me, regardless of all the circumstances, that means giving up your comfort and your security, and most saints don't want to go there.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about what the goal is. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:9, there is just a little verse hidden in there that is very potent. And it says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Okay? And so to be well-pleasing, Sharon, if I was to say to you, okay, Sharon, what is well-pleasing? We might answer, well, Janie, it's to evangelize, to win souls, it's to establish churches, it's to have revivals, it's to have fruitful work. And those are all byproducts mm-hmm. of what it is to be well-pleasing to him.
We get our perception a little off on that one, don't we?
We do, because we really think that the spiritual experience is doing something. Mm-hmm. But really, that can lead to failure if we're not keeping our eyes focused on the right goal.
Right.
And that is flipping back to just Philippians 3:10. How do we really know him? And if so, it's going to be through the resurrection life.
Right.
And most of us don't want to go through the death that allowed for the resurrection.
Right.
But my word, after he was resurrected and then he ascended, stop and think about the benefits. If that's a poor word to describe your eternal destiny, but think about the goodness of God, the richness of God, the unwhelming giving of God, because he was willing to go into that death to know the resurrection. And then in first.
So do you think that, I'm sorry.
No, you go right ahead.
So do you think that some of the trials that we go through are a sort of death?
Well, if I'm hearing you correctly, I would think most trials we go through, if it is in alignment with what Paul said in Corinthians, where he said, I die daily. Well, now, you know, in these mortal bodies, Sharon, we can't go through.
Physically die daily.
Yes.
Right.
But our trials bring death to where we want comfort, where our flesh, like you said earlier, somebody believes they're walking by faith and then they get a new, deeper mm-hmm. trial and they realize, wait a minute, my faith is rocking. It's not right. solid. It's being shaken. And so, yeah, I think there is death in the trials, but there doesn't have to be tragedy or trauma. Mm-hmm. If we're willing to accept what the purpose of the trial is.
So every trial that we go through, if we'll look for that place that God is teaching us, then the trial could be easier on us.
Does this work if I say if we would look at every trial for the blessing in disguise?
Okay.
If we are knowing something really difficult, can we say, this is a blessing that God is wanting to bestow on me because he's getting rid of something that I can't take home to heaven with me?
Right.
All right. And we'll give an account for all of our actions and attitudes here. So the Lord is saying, I want to have you ready to see me. I want to have you ready so that when we look at one another, I can say, well done, good and faithful servant. So trust me in the trials.
So this trial that I'm going through with cancer, I have found myself fighting more of my cure of chemo. I'm fighting chemo every day just to have a normal everyday life that was normal to me. You know, doing activities with my kids, cooking dinner, the normal day-to-days are a battle because of what chemo is doing to my body. And so in that trial, it's best to just look for what God is teaching me rather than trying to find that normalcy, trying to go back in time to what it used to be and start looking for a new normal. Basically.
And a new normal will be a richer normal. Your capacity to witness and make known will be enlarged, okay? Mm-hmm. So we'll never get through this chapter if we don't move on.
I'm sorry.
Okay, no, don't be sorry, but I know that we need to move on. So we just need to recognize that the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to live a life that's centered, being approved to God. And so that is a workman that rightly divides the word of truth. So really part of the eternal enlargement is know the word.
And know it for your life, not just to teach it or to pass it on or to give it out, but know it for your life because that's the foundation.
Yes. And when you know it, as the little course says, then your life will surely show it.
right?
Then, you know, in verse 15 and 16 and 17, Paul summarizes the fact that if you have a mature mind, in other words, if you've moved off of the basics, then you're going to understand what I'm saying here to you in this passage. And if you do, then he basically says, live up to it. And then he says, if you don't understand, then submit to the Lord because he'll make it known. If you're thinking otherwise, then it's a process. It's not going to be an instantaneous revelation. But even if you have a portion, a glimpse of what this is, move on. And then he brings us around to the sad part of people who don't want this. And in verse 17 and 18, in 19, he talks about those that don't want it. And the key there are people that have become enemies of the cross. And then he says why they're enemies of the cross is because they set their mind on earthly things. Now, we had discussion last week, I think it was, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, about we're not to sit around and go to a monastery and just be in meditation. We are called to be warriors and witnesses in a corrupt, chaotic society. Mm-hmm. So we're to be very active, but we're also to recognize that our walk needs to always have the eternal on how it can apply.
Minded.
Yeah, on how it can apply to the earth. Mm-hmm. We're not going to live in some clouds, you know, with the harps and that kind of concept. That's not scriptural. But the win or loss of a game is not going to wreck our day.
Right.
You know, it's something we can enjoy and learn from. Every time I watch my son-in-law coach a game, I learn from my son-in-law. And, you know, for a mother-in-law to learn from a son-in-law is a pretty neat thing.
Yeah.
So then he closes this chapter with talking about that our citizenship is in heaven. So if Paul is expressing to you his personal testimony about moving on for the prize and for the goal, then it's because he recognizes where he belongs. He realizes he's kind of like a fish out of water here on earth,
right.
But he's being sustained by his faith in the God that he can trust with all circumstances.
And that's why he can persevere and share that perseverance with us.
Yes, and that it's an incredible encouragement for us.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that Paul says about our body, and sometimes we are a little lax on what we need to keep in mind about our body. He says that we're not to yield any part of our body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. So when we choose to even go for something as just creature comfort,
mm-hmm.
that can wind up taking us off of our goal.
Right.
And putting us into acts of, I would say, unrighteous deeds or transgressions. And then we need to remember that in 1 Corinthians 6:15, that our bodies are actually members of Christ. And in talking to some saints recently, I realized how often that people going to church for many decades do not really still have a concept of body life, of Jesus Christ as the head. And when you're in pain and you're in a problem, we hurt. You may be the finger, I may be the toe, but the body registers pain. You have pain in one part of the body. Other parts of your body feel
right.
that pain, don't they?
Right.
Okay. So it becomes very necessary that we really need to care about one another. And if you see something on somebody's face that doesn't share the peace of God or display, please don't be passive in thinking, well, Lord, help them. Go ask. Most people are flabbergasted that you care enough to notice, and you don't interrogate, but you just make your heart need known to them. And then we're expected to glorify our God in our bodies. And we have to remember that he said that he has purchased our bodies. He owns them. And so what we do, we need to always remember, is with a purpose of glorifying him. We aim to be pleasing to him. That's with our spirit and with our mind, but also with our physical bodies. And then we are to become students of our bodies, knowing how to control them. And boy, Sharon, that is 1 Thessalonians 4:4. And then he says that he will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And there's the hope. No matter where our hang-up is, he's able to subdue when we choose to put Philippians 3:10 and forward practically into our lives.
Janie, that's all the time we have for today. That is such a good lesson and so many great things there for us to ponder and to learn from. But would you close us out in prayer for today?
I will. Father, we don't know who has joined us today, but Father, we know you gave your son's life that all hearts can be subdued and have hope and can move forward for everlasting enjoyment and the comfort that we desire, but we fall short of obtaining here. So, Father, make this passage real to us so that we can pass it on with the comfort that you've given us now, but that we can know the everlasting comfort by walking after where you've told us to make it our goal and our aim and to go for the prize that is set before us. So thank you. We praise you. We trust you. And we love you because you first loved us. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.